Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Building Your Business right here on SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest all the way from the UK is Angela Roth. She says from a very early age, she knew she was here to touch the world with love. Maybe that sounds a bit corny, but something happened to her at the age of 5, which simply filled her with the belief, and it never left. And of course, much has happened since then. Difficult, painful things, happy, joyous things, but always at the back of her mind and heart, it was the feeling that she had when she was 5. During COVID, she tried to take on a weight loss business online and had met so many people who were hurting underneath the weight. They wanted to lose the love and the companionship. She had been able to share through her business and helped many, but as a viral business and in lockdown, it just wasn't the same. She tried so hard to make that business succeed. She even spent her life savings on 2 executive business coach programs, both of which promised so much, but simply did not deliver. She was devastated. But towards the end of 2021, she suddenly realized just how she'd been tricked into buying these programs. And she took the plunge and started speaking out about it and discovered she wasn't alone and far from it. Today, she runs a coaching business community, Succeed From The Start, supporting other heart-led coaches and build an authentic service-based business, giving them all the tech support they need, as well as the strategy and opportunities to test out their services, to work collaboratively, and to know that we are here to raise each other up. Her heart is finally aligned with her business, and through her own work and that of the clients, she knows now that she's truly touching the world with love. That is beautiful. I am so glad that you listen to your heart, because when people do things from the heart, they do things honestly. You do things from the right space. And there are so many of these big, you know, sign up and I'll make you 6 figures, and all these sign up and come to this rah-rah sugar high program. And then when you're on that sugar high, just sign here for the next course, $4,000. And the next thing you know, you're out of money, you've crashed from the sugar high, and you feel that you haven't got anything from it. And it's quite prevalent out there. And we really do need to be careful that we don't get carroted into it. So welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah.
So it is all too common, isn't it? You know, that somebody shines that kind of shiny object and we think, yes, these people can help me. And then really find out they're really only helping themselves.
Yeah, I think, and I think because if you're heart-led, if you are sort of passion driven and you really want to help people,
yes,
then you kind of fall into the trap of assuming that everybody else is the same.
Yes.
And you're actually, if you're in that vulnerable place of really wanting your business to work and not knowing how to make it work, and somebody comes along and they touch that pain inside of you and that frustration, and they start sort of telling you how they're going to be able to help you change it, then you know, it seemed like the obvious thing to do. And it has been like that for many people.
And still is. You know, I always say that when your why is driven by the desire to help people, the desire to share something that's going to uplift other people, you're already enriched. But if you are led by the dollar, if that's the first thing we see, you're going to make this figures, I'm going to make you top this, and it only is going to cost that. And that's what they lead with. For me, that's a red flag.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, anybody that now starts off by saying, you know, I'm going to make you 6 or 7 or even 8 figures, you know, in 90 days and all of these things, they still say, there's still loads of them out there saying it, you know, immediately. It's just like, turn it off. I don't want to know. Go away. Leave me alone.
I do a lot of business shows, and we say that fundamentally in business, and this is, I think, what people are so sick and tired of. They don't want to be a number. They don't want to be just another, name on a spreadsheet. What we want in business is whoever we do business with, we want a business relationship. We want to be able to say, I can meet you outside of business and feel just as comfortable with you. And we put on different hats for different scenarios, but we want to feel, I can trust you. I like you. And that means that you've got to spend time with people and build a relationship, whether it's a working relationship or not. You've got to spend that time. That's part of the process of doing business, isn't it?
Yeah, building that connection with the person and actually listening to what they want. Are they the right person to work with you? And if they're not, be confident and comfortable to say so instead of trying to sort of trick them through the door and take their money. And when you can't serve them at all.
Now, what I love to see nowadays, which is really wonderful, is the reason I do these shows is to get this information out there, so people can really actually understand they have choice. And the whole thing is listen to the show. Do you resonate with this person? Do you relate with what they have to say? Do you feel comfortable and to be able to approach them and say, let's have a chat, right? And then when people offer a 15-minute or half hour, meet and greet to find out whether they suit each other, that I think is something that people go, yes, because you're not just sending me something online, sign up now, and I'm just got a pretty picture on the banner, rather than a human being that you want to connect with. Because we're tired of feeling a number, we're tired of being another notch in a belt, so to speak. We
Yes.
want that relationship where you understand it, what it is I need.
Yes, absolutely. I think the other red flag for me these days as well, really, is the those who say you just need the perfect sales script. That's all
Yes.
you need, and you use this language. And very much, it's often based on NLP and the training that they're given to do it. And I understand why they use that. I understand why they think it works because it does. Because they actually sort of get underneath the person's fears and insecurities. But unfortunately, I mean, NLP is wonderful. I'm, a trained practitioner, and it has such a powerful impact and can do on helping people change their lives. But used in the wrong way to build a false connection and to make that person feel like they've got to hand over the money, because if they don't, they'll lose this opportunity. And that kind of conversation, that's not about the person at all. And that's the thing to listen out for, and to know in those calls, take the call, have the call with somebody, and are they listen? Ask yourself, are they listening to me? Are they interested in me? Do they really want to understand what I want to do with my business and where I want to go with it? Or are they just after my money?
And I remember, I mean, MLMs. I was with one for some time just because the products were really great. And I had a friend who was an MLM junkie, multi-level marketing. And so you've got to come to this next opportunity. And I'm an observer and I like to study personalities. I'm a true colors coach. So it's always like which personality is speaking. And the personality that was up there on the stage was the orange rah-rah. How I'm driving a Lamborghini now and you can too. And it would leave so many personalities outgoing, but I don't want a Lamborghini. Or, I don't want to go knock on people's doors and force a product down their throat, and it was so interesting to watch this band also that every single one of them that started out like they all crashed, except for the people at the top had already taken their money and moved on. Right.
Exactly.
So it is, we do have to be careful of the excitement around something. And, we can be excited about things, but don't get just caught up in the surface of it all. Look to the depth, do some more research on that company and what they really stand for and what are other people saying about them. And, it's, we've, it is buyer beware, but we've also just got to slow down and do our due diligence.
Yes, take the time to find out, because I think that's the other thing. When you're desperately trying to build something, particularly if you're new, or you might have been doing a job for some time, but you've been trying to grow it and you're just not seeming, it's just not doing, it's just not happening. There can be a kind of desire in you to make it work. And so you can step into something too fast. And like you say, you haven't gone out and asked other people, well, what do you think? Have you worked with this person? What kind of testimonials have they got? What are other people saying about them? It's really important. And those offers that say, unless you buy now,
Yes.
you won't get this price again. It's just a load of it is a load of
Cod's
rubbish,
wallop. Yes,
basically.
exactly.
And just be confident in yourself enough to know that and say, do you know what? If that's true, then that's fine. Just walk away and that's fine.
And we know a great deal, and this is something we did in a show yesterday. It was more to do with children on social media and the damage that it's doing to their neural pathways and their development, and that more and more children are feeling disillusioned and depressed today, you know, because of all this fake following, you know, where it isn't real connections they're making. So they're feeling disconnected, and then they're even more addictive to their phone and following because they're trying to feel attached. And although social media is wonderful at introducing you to someone and starting a conversation, you really do need to set up either a Zoom, a phone call, or face to face and really get to know that person, because you know it's if they could say all the perfect things, right, on the social media, but where's the perfect action to follow?
And do you feel comfortable? Because until you actually see the person's face, you can't really tell. I don't think you can really tell if they're interested in you either. And, you know, there's a lot of scripts out there on social media. There's a lot of, you know, planned and tested. And AI, of course, comes into it now. There's a lot of AI conversations going on. And you can't know with the person through those kind of conversations. Whereas if you can get in the room with them and if you can see what their face is doing, and are they actually, do they light up when you're talking? Are they really interested in what you're saying? Then you've got a much better idea of where to go with it.
Yeah, you know, back to the MLMs, I had a few friends that were in it and they would try and pitch things. And then I remember, you know, mother of three young children, you know, and she's trying to sell me fake nails. And it's just like, you know, I'm just sorry. No. My hands are in the dishes most of the time. No. But what she overlooked is that they had some incredible nutrients in products that I could need, that I did need. But she was selling me on something that, you know, she liked. Instead of asking me, what was my lifestyle like? What did I need? And do I have a product for it? Right? You know, and that's the thing is I've been pitched so many times, and I still do. I get pitched all the time here. And but have you asked if it's something that I need? Oh no, but you've got to have it. It will make your life different. Yes, I'm sure it will make my life poorer.
A lot poorer, a lot poorer. I know that. I mean, I get a lot of call, a lot of messages these days from people who are basically trying to sell me. They start off with, oh, I've seen what you've written on social media and I really like it. And they sort of say nice things. And I immediately now, when I see those kind of comments, I know what's going to come next. And so sometimes I just don't answer. Sometimes if I feel like it, I might say something back. And then immediately it will be, well, I think I can really help you. You know, I can really help you. What I need to do is do your website for you or whatever it is they want to offer me. They don't know me. They don't know where I'm at. They don't know what needs I've got, you know. And it's really silly because actually, if they did get to know me, it could be that I do want their services. If they only gave the chance to actually work out what I actually do, then, you know, so they lose it straight
It's
away.
not terribly warming to get an email or post or anything else like this. Well, your site looks okay, but you know, I really can improve it. Or, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, And this is one thing I definitely do know. I always go to people's websites before I interview them. I want to see how they're laid out, what they're doing, etc. And how many times do I meet a person and go, your website doesn't represent you? Right? There's none of you in your website. You've hired someone to do it generically. And yes, it looks very pretty or very this or very that, but where's you in it? And we've got to remember, people are dealing with us and our expertise, but with us. And so we've got to make sure that we do represent us, because that's who they're connecting and who they're trusting, not the
And
person
if
that
they
did your
don't,
website.
exactly, and you know, and if they don't get to know you, then why should they trust you? You know, if you aren't gonna, if you're not willing to share. And that's to share the ups and the downs. If you're out there and you're only talking about, you know, how wonderful you are and all these successes that you've had, that wouldn't be a person that would attract me either these days. I would
Yes.
be thinking, that's just not realistic. All of us face difficulties and
Yes.
things that we need to walk through. And it makes us a better person, actually. It makes us stronger. It makes us more empathetic. We can understand what other people are going through too. So I would much prefer to meet somebody who's willing to talk about those things as well.
Exactly. And the thing is, as I said, this my 12th anniversary of podcasting, and in June will be 11 years of my own network. I had no idea what I was doing when I started out on this. And it's the things that you learn, but it's always that question, well, why are you doing it? Because, getting those stories out there that people need to hear, that I know that, I'm very much a person that inspiration begets invitation. When you are inspired, you are invited to take action in your own life. And when you hear so many stories and of what people have gone through, and you think, I wouldn't have blamed them if they'd given up, not with what they've gone through, but they decided to find their courage, to find their strength, to discover their abilities, to step out there and become the healing, a resource for themselves, and now have turned around to help others on that same path. How can we trust someone that's never ever walked anywhere near your shoes? It doesn't mean they have to walk exactly the same path, but if they can't comprehend in the slightest way what your challenge is, then how can they serve you?
Yeah, so it's spot on. And I think the thing that I've learned a lot is that through the difficulties I've gone through, you don't want to go through those difficulties. Of course you
No.
don't. You wouldn't choose to. But I mean, even so much, I mean, I lost my eldest brother in 2006. He was my hero. He was my rock. He was
Sorry.
everything to me. And would I love him to walk through that door right now? Of course I would. I think about him a lot. But I can't believe how many people that I've been able to touch in some way when
Yes.
they're going through that, and they don't know what to do with it. And it's enriched my life in a different way. And I know that he would be really proud to hear me say that.
Yes.
So there's a sort of special part of me that honors him really by doing that. And I think whenever we go through those difficulties, it's think of the learning that you take through it. Give yourself time. Give yourself a space, because you can't just pretend it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. But know that it's always going to be something that you can use for good. It's always going to be something that you can touch somebody else with. And they'll be the person who walks through your door who needs your help and needs your support. And in any area, whether it's in business or whatever area of life, you do need those people beside you.
Yes.
And those are the people that I will trust. If I know when I speak, when I share something that I'm struggling with, and I can see on their face that they've been there in some way, like you say, not necessarily exactly, but they've been there. They understand there's an empathy there, then, and they've gone through it and come out the other side. Then I know that I want to put my hand in theirs
Yes.
and have them help me.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's interesting because, again, this week I have another show of a woman who wrote a book about her sister's murder some 40 years before. And she was 19 when her sister and the entire family was murdered by the people that were renting space in their house. And she was pregnant, murdered the baby, murdered the husband, murdered her, and then shoved them all under the house, right? So lovely. And so what her survival did was compartmentalize and put it away. And then it was years later, she was a poet, and it was years later that is, I'm now ready to revisit this and really look at everything and try and understand it. I know from past interviews of people who have been willing to share that most vulnerable, painful thing, right? And to share also the benefits they got out of it. And people, benefits out of losing someone, yes, because you find yourself in a different way, right? It's kind of because of that, you have to find that strength and courage, and it comes out in ways that you never knew. But they never ever understand until it happens to them the impact that those books have on other people's lives. It may not be the person's going through exactly the same thing, but that relatability of that pain and that sorrow, that struggle, and especially when somebody's being taken in such a violent way, and it opens the doors to conversation. It opens the door to support and to healing. Now, whether this is in our personal lives or in our business lives, I think we need to allow some beautiful vulnerability in trust where we can be open and honest because of what's going on. And social media is, I mean, I like AI as a tool. It's a great tool, but let's leave it as a tool. I am not AI and I don't want AI to be me, but I use it as a tool. Everything is an algorithm. So what you put out there on social media is what you're going to get back. So be conscious of what you put out. But that also means that algorithm also can bring like tribe people, like vibed people to you. And that is something I think when you're there to support and you're there to celebrate and you're there to acknowledge people and people can see that, then it opens those doors where people feel you. It's not so much about the list of credentials you have. Oh, jolly dee, wonderful. I'm glad that as a neurosurgeon, you've got certified. But can I trust you with my vulnerability? And that's really what it is, isn't it? Trusting people with your vulnerability.
Yeah, being in a space where you know that you can be totally honest, because if you can't be totally honest, then you're never going to get the right answers that you need because the person doesn't know how to help you.
No,
So,
no.
but you know, if you feel that that other person isn't interested, doesn't care, has no interest in supporting that part of you, then you're not going to open up. They aren't going to be able to help you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to grow past that, the place that you're in at the time. So it's really important. And I think sometimes people, I'll be very open. I don't mind talking about my past. I don't mind talking about the things I've been through, where it's relevant. It's not
Yes.
about shoving your problems. The
Exactly, exactly.
first time I spoke on stage, I think I sort of went through this period, a kind of description of various things in my life, and I had a message, but actually the effect it had was people in the audience were thinking probably, my goodness me, how is she still standing? Because I'd
Yes.
had a,
Yes.
didn't do anything. It wasn't able to help them because they couldn't step into the place. It was too much. But in the right place at the right time, sharing a snippet, a part, a piece of yourself where you learned something, where you went through a difficulty and you grew through it, then just being honest about how it made you feel. In that right time, in that right moment, it'll help the other person to be able to do the same. And then, of course, you can help them grow, you can help them move on.
Last year, I put out my memoir book. And I know when I was writing it, somebody said, oh, are we going to hear all the juicies? And I go, no, I'm not writing it from that perspective. I'm writing as a view of my life. You know, the struggles and challenges I've had, but how I've grown from it, what I've learned from it, how I've become Sarah today for all the trials and tribulations that Sarah went through. And, you know, I obviously haven't put everything in there. I'm 69, it'd be a lot, right? So, but you know, covering kind of the gist and things of it. It was very cathartic in writing it, right? And it's a, and then, you know, like one person who read it said, I now understand why you do what you do, Sarah, and why you're compelled to do it. And I felt in that kind of explanation that she saw me, she heard me, she knows. Right, because it's when you say to people, why do you do it? And they go, oh, I don't know. You know, it's like when you know why you're doing something, when it is coming from the heart, then it is a foundation of loving truth, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that you have put it down on paper. I sort of started writing a book last week because there's so much in there, but
Yeah.
like you say, I think the purpose behind the book, and I think somebody reading your book and seeing now and understanding where you're coming from, you've job well done, really, isn't it? Because actually the whole purpose of that book, she's read it, she's kind of met you maybe in a different way.
Yes, because I'd interviewed her, but then it's obviously then, as you said, meeting me in a different way, and even my brother, because he is a professor of literature, so he kind of did the editing from him, and he said to me, "There's so much loneliness in here," and I said, "And everybody thinks I'm an extrovert, and I'm not actually. I'm an introvert with extroverted tendencies." And I think that's another thing: we look at people and we think they're outgoing. And they are, that is kind of what they've taught themselves to be. But when you kind of sit down with them, you realize they actually are more introverted, right?
Yeah, that's it's really interesting actually, because I recently read, it was a report that somebody did, and they were explaining about the fact that we label people as introverts or extroverts, but actually there is such a thing as an extroverted introvert and an introverted extrovert.
Yes.
And I am an extroverted introvert, so put me in a room of people who know each other and I don't really know them. You'll find me looking at the notice board, pretending it's the most interesting thing in the room because I don't know how to break into that
Yes,
space. But
yes.
put me on a stage with 1,000 people and I'm absolutely fine because I'm
Yeah.
actually talking and I'm not enough to talk to them. I love talking one to one.
Yes.
Absolutely love it. But I'm equally happy in my own space, just completely on my own with nobody around me.
I
It's
love smaller intimate arenas, like small groups where, I start off with the talk, but then I lay open for question period. And I love
Yeah.
that kind of intimacy where where we can really dive deep.
Yes.
I know when I have what I call the rah-rah people, when I publish to send me people, and if it's an interesting topic, I'll do it. And then I've had a couple of people where the entire conversation was I'm introducing them, then saying goodbye to them, and they've just rah-rahed all the way through it because they're used to being on stage talking to hundreds of thousands of people, and they actually don't know the art of conversation. And my thought on that is, well, then if somebody wants to sit down with you and talk more in depth, can you? Can you? Because if you're so used to, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about some people that are, have addressed here, that they're so used to presenting, they don't know how to be intimate with the
Yes.
conversation. And I think that it loses something completely because you've sold me this. You got me inspired. And now I'd like to kind of hone it down. And where are you?
Yeah, and they probably are very uncomfortable about, they're so used to hiding it all, actually. They're probably very uncomfortable to allow you to have a look behind the scenes.
Yes, don't see behind the curtain. I think that one of the problems is you talked about it earlier, like the solopreneur. I was one. I initially had somebody who used to help me with the audio and uploading that until they handed over me, and I had to learn myself. And they did the initial template of the site, and then from there I rebuilt it and did everything myself. And it's like you're wearing an awful lot of hats, and your neck can get terribly wobbly, right? And it's so many people I'd love to align with. And they go, yes, we work great together. We're great. And then you think, okay, let's the strategy. What are we going to do? And then you find, well, I've gone on holiday, or I'm too busy right now, or I can't do this and I can't do that. And you go, I'm back to being the solopreneur again, And so
Yeah.
having an organization that can be supportive of other people's businesses and say, Joyce is doing this, she could really help you with that, and you could really help George over here. That's the thing is everything that I do on these shows is always begging people to go back to community, the village mentality where you support each other. And we lost sight of that, didn't we?
We definitely did, and it's really sad. I mean, gone are the days when you actually lived near your family.
Yeah.
Around the corner was Auntie Joan and
Yes.
cousin Peter's down the other end and all of this,
Yeah,
and
I'm guilty of
you had that
that.
support. And we
Yeah.
are. I mean, my parents wanted us all to be educated, encouraged us to go to university, and of course, inevitably, we ended up living in all sorts of different places and having our families in different places and so on. But the art of community is there, but it needs rebuilding and
Yes.
encouraging. And I think in a way COVID helped for
Yes.
me, to do that. And it was partly through Zoom. It became something I'd never heard of before. But actually you could have quite intimate conversations. And I think, you needed it during that time
Yeah.
because you weren't having coffee in the cafe down the road with somebody. And it meant that a whole different way of life grew up. And now, of course, we're back meeting in person and so on. But the community that built up around me, we're all people who are really heart-centered, really caring people who genuinely wanted to learn and also wanted to support. And that, what I love most is, I'll see a message saying, I'm going to be doing this today on my business. If anybody wants to come along and, learn with me, then I'm more than happy. Here's the Zoom link. Do you want to come and join in? And they sort of help each other out with all the bits and pieces around the edges. If they learn something, they'll come in and say, this I've just discovered this particular system. How would you like to have a go at it? And so on. And also they'll turn up to each other's events and support each other that way. And so that you've got some people sitting in the room and you're not worried that you're going to be talking to a blank screen or something, you know.
I don't like the words competitive and comparison in the sense of comparing yourself to other people or competing with other people. We are all unique. Even if we're doing the same thing as somebody else, we're going to do it in a different way and we're going to have a different niche of clientele. There's room for everybody. And I think when we can step up and support, celebrate, share, we are so much stronger for it. Everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. And it is, people are beginning to see that more now, that this, the big word is see collaboration, and how that cohesive collaboration fortifies us in so many ways.
Yes, it's made a huge difference. I think when I started and I started talking about, being heart-led, and I would find that people would be like, "Well, what does that mean?" Telling me, no, you've got to niche. You've got to niche. It's got to be, now, is it women that you're going to help? Now, are they, how old are they? What color hair have they got almost? It felt like, what do they have for breakfast? I've got to be so specific. I thought, well, this is ridiculous. What I do, I can do for all sorts of different people. It's about the change that I help people make. That's what I do. And when I started to talk about the heart-led part, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to keep with this. I'm going to stick with it. I don't care that some people are telling me I can't call myself that and that nobody will understand, because actually more and more people are understanding and more people want it. They want that connection. They want to be cared for. They want to be valued. They want to be appreciated. They want to be allowed to be themselves and to grow in their own way, in their own business, and with the people that they're going to serve. And now I see it more and more that people are looking for that heart leadership rather than the sort of money leadership, and rather than the independent. Yes, we can be independent, but we're independently connected. And when we've got that part to our lives, it makes for a much richer experience.
I call it the orchestra. So, each one of us in the discovery of our instrument, and we learn how to play that instrument, and we could be soloists and really be very good. However, when we bring our skill to the orchestra, and each one of us in our own strengths harmoniously plays together, we transcend that message out incredibly. And but that orchestra is only as good as everybody's participation, as everybody's strength. And that's really what we're doing, is building orchestras. So when we come together, the symphonies that we can create together because of our individualism, because of our uniqueness, because of our instrument. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, well, if I join with someone, I'm going to lose my voice. No, you may not be in every piece, or in not every piece, you may not be the soloist, right? But it does mean that you're a part of the orchestra where everybody's in it together for the right reason. And everybody will get that turn at being the soloist. You don't want to be the soloist all the time. It's a lot of pressure, right? So I feel that, again, for doing all these shows and interviewing so many people, and what was, I did a series back in 2017 called Get Synced, and it was about actually climate change, but around about the mental climate change in order to bring about climate change, and climate change in the way we do business, climate change to do with the earth. And there was one gentleman who had been on the other side of the wall in Germany, and when he was 11 when the wall went down. So he knew the communism, and then he knew business, and he started a business called Pure Necessity. And the philosophy is this: you invest in people and planet for the profit, not profit at the expense of people and planet. And it's
I love it.
simple concept, but when we turn that around, we've enriched the people, we've honored the planet, not raped and pillaged it, honored it. The profit will come. And it will be more sustainable. But if you're looking for the quick buck, and then you're only as good as your next sale, who else can I turn to? Who else can I pitch to? Then you're always chasing the rabbit, right? Instead of building a sustainability that is ethical and one that you stand by, one that is heartfelt, and one that will have deeper growth.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And it was interesting. Somebody asked me a question today. What was my sort of biggest win from last year? And I sort of sat and I thought about it. And I thought, you know what? I think it is retention. It's retention of the membership. That for me says that I'm doing a good job. I'm giving them what they need. I'm prepared to move with introducing things into the business. If I find out that they need something else, I'll bring something in for them. And there's just very, when somebody joins, they don't leave because they're getting what they need there. And for me, that's massive. I could go out, I could go out there and sign up, 100 people into the business without taking any notice of whether they actually need me or not, without actually finding out whether they're suitable. Are they going to mix with the other members? Are they going to collaborate and so on? I could just be like, oh yeah, but it's great because, look how many people. But half of them could just disappear by the end of the first or second month because A, it isn't the right place for them, or they're not really ready. There'd be all sorts of reasons why it might not be the right
They
place
might
for
not be
them.
contributors,
Exactly. No, and it's not about that. It's about finding the right people for you, and the right people that you can serve, the right people that in our community that can serve each other. We did have one lady came in, she's very excited about joining, but even from day one, I thought, you're an in charge person. You actually just want to tell everybody here how wonderful you are and what you can do for them. That's not the collaborative spirit.
No,
That's
no.
not the person who wants to work alongside. And I mean, I
The
didn't
willingness
ask.
to learn from each other, isn't it?
And she got the message herself, actually. She realized herself that that just
Wasn't
wasn't
her
how
arena.
people worked.
Well, you're the conductor here, right? You're
Brilliant.
bringing the instrumentalist into an orchestra, so you're the conductor here. And the conductor has got to know each artist and how they play. You've got to understand not just their instrument, how they play, how they come across, how well they work with other people in the orchestra. Because if everybody again is in respect of each other's instrument, right, and not one is trying to outshine the other, then you have got an orchestra that has strength and respects one another. And that is really deep-rooted, the respect for one another.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you do go and listen to an orchestra and you overhear one instrument, or even if one's out of tune, they might be they might be actually quite very good at that. But if it's out of tune because something's wrong, then again, you can be aware of that. And similarly within the business, you can say, okay, something isn't right here. It might not be that they shouldn't be there. It might just be that something's wrong, and they need a bit of help and support.
Yes, you don't throw people out because they're having difficulties, or you know that some people have to pause in their life, and life happens, and think business has to go on pause, and it's like, well, what other business can say, okay, go and have that baby, or go and support grandchildren that's just been born, or whatever the case is. What can I do for your business in this transition? Can I keep an eye on it for you? Can I do postings for you? Because that kind of support and collaboration is huge, absolutely huge. It shows respect, shows the value of people, and it just shows the strength of a community.
Yeah, I think I really it kind of came home to me. I think it was the first point where I thought this is really happening now. This the members are really getting the purpose, because I was ill. I just fell ill all of a sudden overnight. I was absolutely fine, having a great time. I did a meeting and I felt like I was full on, And the next morning I woke up being sick, and everything just like the carpet had come from underneath me, and I just couldn't do anything. And it was just wonderful how this lady said, look, I'll take that meeting that day, and another one stood up and she was going to do something else, and they just jumped in and took over and until I was ready to come back again. And I was just so appreciative of it, but I just showed that they really cared, that they valued it, that they valued each other, that they trusted each other too, and it wasn't just going to fall apart just because I couldn't actually, be in front of the camera.
I had to cancel you We were meant to do this show a few days ago, but I have a very generous grandson who loves to give me all his germs. And I ended up with another virus that flattened me. I couldn't get out of bed. Never mind do a show. I was in Gaga land. And you were very gracious about, don't worry, we'll change it, no problem. But if you come across somebody, well, that doesn't suit me, well, then it's like, well, do I want to do business with you?
Exactly. Yeah, actually.
Yeah,
Maybe you're just not the right person. Yeah.
exactly. And I think this is something, especially in the solopreneurial small business arena, we've got to have some compassion for each other because stuff is going to happen. We are
Yeah.
going to get sick, or there is a family member that needs us, or something else is going to happen. And we do need people that are going to be there for us. I'm moving at the end of this month and I'm taking 2 weeks off because I'm moving from one place, but I have stuff in storage over the pond, which I've got to get over as well. It's going to be a nightmare for a couple of weeks. And I know I will not be able to do this. Right, but
Yes.
I know I've got people who go, don't worry, Sarah, I'll post a show, or I'll do this, I'll do that. And I mean, there's 3,600 shows that I'm leaving people with, so there's plenty to keep them going if I miss a show for a couple of weeks. But it is knowing that support is there. Now, that support, especially on social media or with people, is something that is built up with time. I've built up this arena one show at a time. You've built it up by knowing what a scam is, quite honestly. And because of knowing what you needed and thought you were buying, you now know what to provide people because you've been there and you've done that. And it's that, and never, ever, ever underestimate the good or the bad experiences because they all have lessons, don't they?
Absolutely. I think if you do just dwell on the mistake or
Yes.
the feeling, oh gosh, why did I do that? And woe is me, then you never can move forward. And you'll end up sort of stuck in the mud, really. But I think when you actually say to yourself, okay, well, that happened, and I know I put my hand up the second time because it was the two things I invested in the second time. I really should have known. I should have seen the signs because they were very similar to the signs with the first person. But the second person was like, oh, that's awful. How they treated you was terrible. But I'm not like that. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And I still didn't twig that what they were saying they were going to do wasn't what I needed. I was just still at that point of, but I just want to get my business out there. I just want to get it going. I want to help people and all of that. And what it did do for me then, like you say, I began to realize that what I needed wasn't to be told what to do. I needed somebody that would walk alongside me and show me how to do it. And I started to teach myself and learn all of those things myself, and took a leaf from my dad's book actually, because he used to say, "Look, you never stop learning till the day you die." And he was
Absolutely,
a great
absolutely.
one. I mean, he taught himself computing at a time when, nobody did. And he bought us a home computer way before anybody had home computers. They just didn't have them. And I thought to myself, okay, look, I'm perfectly capable of learning this stuff, so I'll go and do it. And then now it actually makes me smile sometimes at the questions that I'll get asked and the answers that I've had to teach myself, because I just think, gosh, where did that come from? And I know that the children are all really fascinated at what their mum is now doing with all sort of tech support and landing pages and all of these things, which I didn't grow up with. We didn't have
No,
any of
I
that
hear
stuff, that didn't have a mobile phone, never mind a landing page.
Well,
So,
I mean, the first show I did, I pressed all the wrong buttons. I was with a different network and it was live, and I call it the soap opera training because you're in the now and anything can go wrong, right? And wonderful training. And then when I started my own, had a friend who used to do the audios for me, and then he said, no, my business is too busy, you've got to do it now. And the thing is, I'm dyslexic, so I need to have it written and do the steps a few times before it sets in my brain. And then once that it's there. And then somebody, I for the first 5 years I only did audio, and then it was, no, sorry, you've got to do video, come on. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, so who wants to see this old bag on screen? And then another voice followed straight behind it saying, it's not about you, it's about the content, right? So and but it's a great deal more work to put out a video than it is an audio, and another learning curve. And there's certain jargon that I have no comprehension of. So I do the best I can as I can learn and as I can evolve, right? But this goes back to discovering our abilities in our journey of growth in any way. We sell ourselves short when we say, no, I can't do that. I can never do that. Until you have to do something, and then you discover, well, I could do it all along. Right? And it may not be perfect, like a professional can, but it's functional and it works. And I did it. So we always
And you get better.
you
You
get
did
better.
it, and the more that you do it, the more you improve. And be proud of it, actually.
Yes.
Celebrate all the differences that the things that you're learning and the things that you're doing, and enjoy it, and know that actually other people are appreciating it too.
Yes. And that's the thing, but it's when you have a group under one umbrella, and you know that that person, that's their forte and it's not yours, then it's cross services, right? And that's that is the helping each other out, not expected to do it for nothing. No, I want to employ you to help me do this. Can I do something for you? Can we barter? Right? It's there's lots of things we can do there, but we are not meant to do it all. And when we do, sometimes, yes, we drop the hat on a few things. And this is why we do need someone that we can turn to and go, look, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Or do you know anybody in the group that's good at this? Or can you get somebody to join the group that's good at this, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we will bring people in, if there's if this I'll gladly say, look, that's not my area of expertise, but I'll go and find somebody
Yeah.
who can help us on that one. Bring them in and let them talk. And if they want to join us, they can do, but otherwise they're just a guest speaker. And people get value from that.
Absolutely. So the way you do it is that you have speakers so that they're speaking to whatever topic of what they're doing. But you yourself are offering not only just the membership and the collectiveness there, but support in what areas?
So I do strategy. So all the members have a strategy session with me to do with their business, and we'll look at what. Okay, so what have you done this month? Where has that helped? How would you think that it's helped your business to grow? Is there some way we can look at it? So we'll do that, and we'll sort of make sure that they know what they're doing next month. What are they concentrating on? And then we do. They all have a membership of a digital platform that we run for them, or with them, I should say. They learn how to use it. They can use, we do have some VAs. They can ask one of the VAs to do a landing page for them, but I much prefer it that they know how to do it, because then they know what they want. They're much more in control then. So they've got all
Yes.
that access. That's part of their membership. There's a course building software that they can use too. So if they want to create, online courses, that's all part of the membership. And then alongside that is all the support basically to get those things going. And the opportunity to test and try. So they've had an idea, maybe there's a workshop they want to run, or a webinar they want to run, to a new course they want to launch. They can come in and get feedback and see, okay, how does this land? Are you getting from me what I want you to get from
Yeah.
me? And then usually, often what will happen is members will come and take part in those things, and they're quite happy then to give testimonials because they've learned something. We had one lady in the community who helps people set their prices. She gets them through money blocks and things.
Yes.
And she actually helped some people in the community. So they were more than happy to then go on video and make a testimonial for her and say, oh, she's really helped me to, understand my pricing and so on. So that really helps their business to grow, because they can go out there with sort of authentically, rather than just saying to your mum, can you go and tell people that, I'm a nice
Yes.
person?
Yeah.
They're sort of,
Yeah, I mean the picket
it's,
fence is great, but we want to expand that picket fence a little bit. It's kind of general support, isn't it? For people that have a great idea that want to get going. That's the thing. There's so many creative ideas out there, but there's so many people that don't get anywhere with it because they don't know where to start. They're overwhelmed with the amount of, I can do this for you and I can do that for you. And they don't know, well, do you know what it is I need? Because I don't know. And until you sit down and talk to the person and understand where the passion is, where the conviction is, where the heart is, what it is they're trying to do, how can you help them their strategy? and moving
That's
forward.
right. It's absolutely right. So we'll start off with somebody. We really actively look and encourage people who have got a heart to change someone's life. You know
Yes.
that often they've had that change themselves. They've experienced something themselves, and they've solved a problem. And now they know that they could help and work with other people. So it's about getting clear on what change do they want to help somebody make? Who can they help make that change? And how can they do that? And then getting them out there, helping them with social media, getting them
Yes.
confident to talk about the things that they want to talk about, and in the right places, rather than scattering themselves all over the place. Sort of really getting clear on their message. And then I think one of the biggest mistakes, probably that I made, was being frightened of the technology that will help you to do that,
Yes.
and thinking, everybody kept telling me what I needed, but nobody would tell me how to do it or
Yes.
where to get it from. And the one person that did start telling me, the number of different things I was supposed to be buying and zapping together in this way and that way, it really did feel like you were spinning plates. And
Yeah.
also money was just hemorrhaging out.
Yes.
So we want people to be able to start that business and to fulfill their dreams without losing thousands of pounds in the process, and to
Right.
start bringing, that's why we call it a succeed from the start, actually, because we
Yes.
believe that from day one, you can make progress and you can start succeeding in your journey, in your business journey.
The other beautiful thing about having a group like this is there's accountability to each other, but there's also a trust. You're going to support and talk about each other's businesses and in your own business, and your own networks and your own guest speaking and whatever the case is. And that is, I trust my group. I feel safe in my group. I don't feel like there's somebody there with an agenda that's going to take advantage of me. And that support is like a companionship, right? That is really, I mean, I don't think people, until they've had it, truly understand the impact of it. Yes, you could
No.
belong to a network, but everybody's out there pitching their own thing, right? But when you've actually got a supportive group where we're under one umbrella, we're here to support each other, we're all here to grow. I want everyone to succeed here. Then it becomes that something where you really do feel that you're protected in many ways.
I think that's really important. It's a really good point to raise, because we've all probably experienced a time when you think you've had a good idea, you're very excited about it, and then maybe you hear somebody else talking about it and you think, well, I'm sure that was my idea, and that's definitely not what we're about. We're about being really safe. If you've got an idea and you want to talk about it and you want to discuss it, you want to get some feedback on it, nobody's sitting there thinking, oh, I wonder if I can do that. It's just about, okay, let's listen, let's help, let's support, let's get you really being clear about it. And sometimes it might be about sharing. My business partner, I have a business partner that we run a sort of a side area where we get people on the stage talking about what they're passionate about. And we got talking about that, and it's like, why would we want to do this alone when we
Yes,
could do it together?
exactly.
So that came out of there.
I'm going to do something shameless right now because it is a fundraiser, and that is Our Forgotten Children. It's an anthology with 15 different chapters in here for 15 different people on what's going wrong in our society around families and children and things and changes that we need to change desperately because we're setting such a wrong precedence for our children to grow up in. And we need to really look at the systems and realize they're obsolete and we need to change. And a lot of that is to do with technology. But it's also all the money goes to each author's organization they support, like St. Jude's Hospital or other organizations that are supporting families. So I'm sorry, I do it shamelessly in every show, Our Forgotten Children,
Good.
which you get from the orchardofwisdom.org. But this is an ultimate collaboration. I had a desire to do this 5 years ago out of the doing the shows. I call them podcast books for that reason. The shows started the conversation and I felt the conversation had to expand. And then it was never the right time. All lots of other things happening. And then last year it was, yes, okay, universe, I've heard you, it's the right time. And then all of a sudden I'm interviewing people on different subjects to realize they're perfect for the book. And then the chapters all came together. And it's something that AA, I'm proud of, but they're proud of being a part of.
Yes.
because of the message, because of the conversation to be had about it, because of the movement and the mission behind it.
Yes.
And I think when people have something that they are collectively involved in, that is heart-based, that's coming from good intent, that will have a big impact on people, it's something that it makes them immensely proud to be a part of. So
Yes.
it's really important we do build these communities where people can say, I'm just as much in celebration of your business as I am as mine. Your triumphs are my triumphs, right? And
Yes,
that's, I think
yes.
that arena is something we need to see pocketed in whatever, whether business or family or whatever, in all life. We need to bring the village back,
Yes,
right?
yes. Yeah, I mean, do you know what? That sounds like another book title to me, Sarah. We need
Bring
to
the
bring the
village
village back.
back.
It
Yeah,
feels like
I'm
that's,
constantly
you
saying
know, that just feels really special. And you know, I mean, I love the book, by the way. I couldn't agree with you more. It's partly why we home educated two of our children, because of what we saw was going on in
Yes.
the world, that we just felt they weren't getting the right start in life that they deserved, basically. And that village community is
Yes.
a place where all of us can flourish and prosper, as long as we want to take part in it and we want to be part of it.
Yes.
And we, you know, we, I mean, one of our sayings is we're there to raise each other up. We
Exactly.
are.
We
We
are.
raised, we rise together.
Yes.
It's not about, you know, this person sort of pushing and sort of squashing other people down. It's about hand in hand, valuing each other, honoring each other, and being prepared to talk about each other in a very positive and reinforcing light. And it's hugely rewarding, and beneficial to all of us.
That orchestra is not going to sound good if it hasn't got everybody's 100% participation for the right reason, right? It's not about the individual, it's about the collective. But the collective is only good as the individuals.
Yes.
So we're
Yeah,
not asking
definitely.
people to lose their identity. We're asking them to bring their identity to the collective. When we go to a buffet, do we all have just meat and potatoes? Or we do have a selection there. Do you eat every single thing on there? No. You go for things that you particularly like, right? And but that buffet will be wiped clean. And that's the thing, is you keep going back to that place because it's such a delicious buffet. So, it's what dish are we?
Yeah, which one do we provide? It's interesting as well, isn't it? Because some people will, you know, they'll eat one thing at a time off the plate, and other people will mix it all together. And there's, again, that works. It still
Yes.
works within
Yes.
the community, you know, that you've got that. You can have your different personalities. You don't all have to be exactly the
Yeah.
same.
No,
You
we
don't
don't
need
want
to
them all the
like
same.
all the same
Yes,
music and read all the same
exactly.
books. In fact, it's better if you don't, because it actually
You need
gives a real
contrast.
mix. Yes.
Yes. But for somebody on the outside looking for the services of the people that are under your umbrella, when they see they're under an umbrella, and that they are supported, and they now need services from someone else, they're going to go to the umbrella, right? Because, oh, this person gave me great service. If I have such great service from this umbrella, I'm going to go to somebody else in the umbrella that can help me with what I need next, right?
Yes.
Because
Yeah.
it becomes something that becomes its own business board, in a sense that I like this community, I like what it stands for, and I want to do business with people in this under this umbrella.
Yeah, we do find that very often, and the people in the community will always recommend, you know, if they're talking to somebody who's outside and they hear somebody saying they need a, you know, business analyst, or they need somebody that helps with their websites and so on, then you know that you can
Yes.
reliably
Yes.
recommend the person that, you know, you've actually been on a call with for the last 3 months or whatever, learning about them and hearing about them.
And that's the thing, isn't it? When we refer people, there's a Lineable and there's something else, another thing online, and it's always, do you recommend this person? Do you recommend this person? And I've put out all the time, unless I've interviewed them or I know them, I will not recommend them, right? I will recommend them if I have had an experience with them and I feel
Yes.
I can recommend them. It is my integrity that I'm putting out there. If I just carte blanche recommend somebody, that I don't really know really what they stand for, and they end up doing something wrong to someone. But you recommended me,
Exactly.
right? So I want to know who I'm recommending, and do I truly, honestly want to recommend them?
I mean, it's crucial, actually. I think the gone are the days. Well, I don't know whether we should have ever done it, but if you went out looking for a painter and decorator, you wouldn't just pick somebody off the street. You'd want them to have, you want to know and see what their work was. And best of all, if somebody said to you, "Well, I used them, and they were brilliant. They cleared up after them, and the quality of the painting was fantastic." That's what you want, isn't it? And if you just, like you say, recommended somebody that you have no experience of at all, they might be very good, but if they're not, it's a real letdown.
Most of my business is referral, is people referring me or coming back. And I have some publicists I work with, and they know what kind of clients they're like. And I get interviewed all the time. And who do you want to interview, Sarah? And I go, all those that come from the heart. What do you mean? And I say, well, 19 different genres. Those are the topics we can go under. But are they passionate about what they do? And are they here really to serve people? Because that's the people that I will interview.
That's wonderful.
Because that's what it's about, right? I'm not into. I believe me, I've done some shows on government wrongdoings, which aren't conspiracy theories. These are really have happened to people, and it's actually extraordinary. Like a woman being sent to jail for her brother's crime because they couldn't find him, so they said, "Well, take another family member." And she had an autistic son at home, and she served 2 years in jail, and she never had done anything wrong at all, right? So yeah. There are many systems that are extremely broken, and so yes, it's we're in a stage in life, at a crucial crossroads in life, I think, where what we feed, look at our algorithm as a human race, and look at what we are feeding, what we are putting out. Is it of positive service? And if it isn't, then go and do the work. Because nobody needs your negativity, nobody needs your angst, nobody needs your greed and your opulence or your fear, right? We are all responsible for our own healing. And if you are money driven, or if you're driven by fear, or if you drive people by fear, then you're not in my algorithm. And so we need to be the algorithm that we want to receive.
Yeah, we definitely do. I think we recently were talking about, there's a saying, sort of, it is in giving that you receive. And it's not quite the same, and it just came to me when you were talking how much that we talked about, yes, but you also need to understand that it's in receiving that you give, and the ability to allow other people to give to you and open the door and open up your heart to let them in. The message that is coming stronger and stronger is how many people want to connect with the heart now. They've had enough of all the big money and all the power and all of that stuff going on. How many people
What's
don't
it
want to
got us?
listen to
What's it got
them?
us?
Exactly. They
Yet
don't want to
another
listen to all of
war.
it.
Now, we're just so sick to death of little boys, using military-like toys and sending people to their death and annihilating people because of their little ego. And we're sick to death of it. Go to a counselor, just stop creating war out of greed and everything else. And it's interesting, again, another talk in a show this week. She's a neurological scientist, so the way the brain works. She said, we are wired to do that. We are wired to be corrupt, or flight or fight, to be argumentative. We're wired that way. We can't change that. And I said, but however, I feel with reprogramming, that may be a part of the programmer, but does it have to be 100% of the programming? Can it be a nice 5% tucked away, and the 95% is the other? And I just, well, we'll never be able to change it. And I said, well, fine, if we can't change it, what we can do is devolumize it, right? Because I do believe what we feed grows. And if we keep feeding that, it's going to grow. But if we keep feeding the options and the possibilities and the kindness, compassion, and the love, that will grow.
And there's never a never. I mean, The only people that can't change are the people who won't, you know.
Exactly. And we can't help those people until they ask for help. They've got to give themselves permission. They've got to give us permission for us to hand over the tools they need. But they've also got to participate in their own healing. So, we're not here to fix them. We're here to guide them with the tools they need to apply in their own lives. And that is our responsibility of our life's discovery, of discovering our strength, our abilities, our courage. However dark a space we're in, do we give in to the darkness or do we choose to come out into the light?
Yeah, and are we willing to, like we said before and earlier, to speak about those times, to be honest about them, to share about them, and to be and li literally to open a door, to hold a door open and say, you know, if you want to walk through it, then we're here to help you do that. You can't make anybody open that door and walk through it, but you can show that you're opening it. You can show that you're willing to help. And it's amazing that I've noticed there are people who I know that 3 or 4 years ago would have turned their back on what I'm doing now and what you're doing now, and they would have been, oh, that's just, you know, rah rah stuff, you know, we don't really want to know about it. They're listening. There are people who are listening and who are actually realizing that if they want to see a difference in their life, if they want to feel different, then they do actually have to step forward and allow themselves to change. Whereas if we
Consciousness
just,
needs to rise. Yeah, and
it
that,
does. I mean,
yeah.
you know, if we just decided that we weren't going to do it because, you know, it's too hard, then where's the good in that?
But also, if it was too easy, would we appreciate it as much? I love what I'm doing. I've been doing it 12 years. It's been goddamn hard. As I said, I don't make money out of this, and I get all the people that are money makers, but sorry, you're doing your business wrong. And I said it has to be free will for me. People have to donate out of free will, not because I don't want to separate only the people that can afford it and not tell the stories that need to be told from people that can't afford it, right? So I am compelled to put that out there, and I cannot change that compulsion there, right? So then it's up to the world and how it's received. And many people always have a battle with me because it's, you're not doing, you should do this and you should do that. And I just say, you don't understand. It's in my DNA. I can't. I
Yes, I've
can't,
met some of those people.
but the interesting thing is, yes, you're going to have some hard times and some rocky times. But when those good times come, when you've got a happy customer, when you've look back and go, I've been doing this for so long and I still get up despite where I feel sick or not and do it, right? Because I love it. I love the messaging going out and that every now and again, somebody's saying, that show changed my life. And it's all worth it, right? So we do it because we want to see that satisfaction on that customer. We want to see them grow. We want to see them succeed because somebody else's success is a heart building for us. And I think that when we come from the heart and we come from love, the more heart we give, the more we generate more love to give. I think it's a generator that just keeps on growing and growing and allows us to keep giving more and more. We never get depleted of our love. It's one of those things that just keeps on giving the more we give.
That you know, I'm one of eight children, and people used to say to my mum, how can you love that many children? You know, when you like number six, I'm number six, you know, and she just said exactly what you've just said. You know, it's not about having to share a set volume of love and now it's going into smaller pieces. Every single time another child arrives, that much love comes and it just gets bigger. And the more I give, the more I receive as well. I mean, she does, you know, she's 98 now nearly. And we're taking care of her, taking turns to stay with her, to look after her, you know, because she gave us so much and it's coming back. But no, you're absolutely right.
I'm being very, very blessed by my daughter and her husband who have just bought me a home to live near them. And, they say, look, Mum, you can help us with the babies now, and we're there for you around the corner as you age. And,
That's lovely.
that, I mean, God, that's one of the best gifts you can get. Never the fact that it is a gift of a home, but that your children have given it to you. Right. So, and then also the fact that I'm closer to watching my little grandbabies grow. But they can keep the germs to themselves.
Yeah.
Because I get everything they get. Time for echinacea. I think that I don't think we ever have, we'll never run out of love. There are people that stop loving because they've been hurt. There are people that are too scared to go back into business because they've had a bad experience. But everything is a lesson learned, right? But the lesson is, again, all right, pay attention. What did that person say that made you want to go with them? Why did you not pay attention to the signs? How can you pay attention to those signs in the future better? And if you repeat it again, that means, hey, you haven't learned the lesson, right? The whackaroo is going to be a little bit harder this time, so that you do learn the lesson. And we've got to realize there's something inside of us that attracts these people. What is it inside of us that's attracting them? And what can I do about it? Because if we take the onus responsibility for our own healing, our own choices, and understand from where they come from, then we will make more educated and better choices for our lives.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Again, it's just, if we don't listen, if we don't listen to, or if we don't explore, we don't ask
Right.
ourselves the questions and say, well, I should have realized that. I've
Yeah.
done it before. I should have realized that. Like you say, that's usually because you haven't actually
Learn.
gone deep enough and
Yes.
learned
Yes.
it. I mean, it's no different from falling off a bike when you're little, is it?
Yep.
If you keep falling off the bike, why?
Yes.
Is it because there's some, you're sitting in the wrong place on the saddle, maybe there's
Yeah.
something that's happening, and it's exactly the same thing. And
Yeah.
it's just, you just need to go and have a look, and you need to be honest. And
Yeah.
actually, if you can't work it out yourself, just ask,
That's
ask somebody
what
else.
people are there for. This is why so many people, solopreneurs, are coaches and things like that. They're here because they understand where you are. They were there, and we will probably be there again in some other aspect. But now we're more equipped to deal with it, equipped to recognize it, and equipped to not let it overcome us, but to redirect and not go down that same path. And the wisdom from life experience shared with someone on that journey is extremely profound,
Yes.
right? So this is why you need these mentors and these coaches. They've been there, they understand. They're going to help you pivot and understand changing your patterns so you don't keep going back to the same point over and over again.
Yes. And being in that position of saying, I think, we never have learned everything. There's always space to learn something different and to be
Yes.
willing to admit that you do need to learn something different
And we're
so that
never
you.
too old. Never too
Never
old.
too old, never.
The oldest person I've interviewed was 92 at the time. She has her own TV show. She took a new lover at 90. She's probably 94 now, still doing her TV show, right?
Good.
So, and she's a woman of chutzpah, absolutely. And the thing is, it's all attitude, isn't it? Gratitude, attitude, and willing to look at something as an adventure and wondrous rather than fearful. And I say with these shows, listen, learn, and apply. Right? If there's only one thing you've learned in here, apply it. Then maybe go back and listen again. The other thing I encourage people to do is have podcasts, like you have book club, have a podcast club. Everybody listen to the podcast and then share what you got out of it. And by the
Yeah,
time you've
great.
all shared, you've got a much bigger picture of the comprehension of what was being said. But this is one of the things, don't be so scared to have a conversation, deep conversations. That's how we learn. That's how we make the right choices. That's how we help each other.
Yeah, I
Now
think
you've
when I was at university, one of the things that I absolutely loved, I think it was such a time. Yes, we learned the subject, of course we did in the lectures, but for me it was a life experience. It
Yes.
was exploring who I was, how I felt, how I thought, and all of those things. And often it was a ridiculous time of the clock, 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, or you're watching the dawn come in. And I think there was a period when the children were little. I didn't get that, obviously, because I was shattered looking after the little ones. It was a whole
Yes.
new stage of life. But we need it. We need to have those times when we explore, because we're always on a moving forward path as long as we let
Trajectory.
ourselves. We
Yeah.
never have to be stuck and say,
Yeah.
that's it now, I've learned everything, I'm just like I am. We never have to be who we are today. Yeah, with always opportunities to be somebody and grow and develop. And that's what I've learned over the last few, I mean, years really. I'm doing a completely different business than I ever set
Yes.
out to do,
Yeah.
because that's what was needed.
Yeah,
So I
exactly.
learned myself the skills, taught myself the skills, and got on with it. And I think, all of us can do that as long as we're open to doing it.
We don't want to be a stagnant pond because that's when the mosquitoes come. We are fluid creatures and we're constantly meant to be in flow. And sometimes we're in flow at fifth gear and sometimes we're just idling along, right? But it's be in flow. Life isn't meant to be stagnant. Now, you have a wonderful free gift for everybody here, which is Stepping Into Your Power, a book, an ebook that people can get. So, will you please tell people, A, how they can be a part of your organization, and B, reaching out to you, and also how they can get this beautiful gift?
So the gift is there to help people really dive into who they are, to set those intentions. We talk about setting intentions, and you can go on all sorts of talks and things, and people will tell you how to do it, but it's about actually achieving them and reaching them. So that's what Stepping Into Your Power is all about. It's actually really discovering what is that heart message inside of you, what is it that's pushing you forward and enabling you to achieve the things that you're capable of, and then how do you do it once you've actually decided what it is that you're going for. So literally, they'll get, they can just put in their details and we'll email them the ebook, and they'll always also get an opportunity to come and have a chat if they want to discover what their heart message is. What is it that their life can stand on, the thing that really drives, that you will never let go of, that no matter what else are happening in your life, you will stand firm on that heart message. So we'd love to help people discover that for themselves. And then those are the people that are part of our community. They are people who have discovered what that message is that they want to share. And so again, there's a link that people can come along. And again, just come and talk to us. You can see what's in the community, you can see what members get, but come and have a conversation, because it's about knowing that you fit and that you potentially want the support around you to help get all that tech stuff done, to get all the strategy done, and just to feel supported and not on your own, not trying
Yes.
to sort of, run sort of standing still. I mean, I felt like I was walking through treacle when I was trying to set the business up originally, because I just didn't know how to do all those things.
Nope.
And we're just there to
And it
help do all
changes
those
every
things.
5 minutes too. You just learned something and now there's something else.
Exactly. So
Right.
that, yeah,
So,
so we sort of stay on top of it.
yeah. And you need somebody that's their forte to do that, like, oh my God, what now? So,
Yeah.
people are interested. They want to have a chat with you about it. Obviously, they can get the book, which is a wonderful way to start. But do you have a conversation with them first, or what's that process when they say, "I want to know more"? Where do they go?
So both on the ebook and also on the link for the membership, there's a booking. You can basically book a call, come and have a chat,
And the
and
site
then, as I
is
say, sorry.
that your site.
So the site is succeedfromthestart.com. You can book a call there as well if you just want to go and have a look at our website and see the kind of things we talk about. And again, you can just book a call. We love to speak to people. We're never about trying to persuade somebody to join us when it's not right for them. We just love to talk to people and find out what they want to do and can we help?
It's got to be right for each other. It's not just a question of oh, is it right for me? In you can't have what we call a disruptor in the group. So it is, the orchestra and diverse playing, yes, but it's got to be people that are willing to kind of be supportive of each other. And
Yeah.
that's the important thing, is having somebody, people there that understand, yes, this is about you, but it's also about us. Like in a marriage, there's you and there's them, right? As individuals, and they've got their own needs, but what about the us?
Yes.
Right? And so you're building an us there. And can that us, we don't want completion. What we want is complementary, that can you complement each other?
Definitely. Yeah, will you feel safe? Will you enjoy that kind of a community? Are you a lone player that actually isn't really interested? And so, like you say, it's all about the right people. And usually what happens is people know. Literally, as soon as you start talking, most people know whether they are right themselves. Which is wonderful, actually. It's
Yes.
usually a really sort of enjoyable conversation.
So it is succeedfromthestart.com.
Dot com is the website.
Oh, you've got .co.uk. Are you also on .com?
So dot com is the website, and the landing pages are on .co.uk. So they
Okay.
probably would find us that way too, but.
Right, I'm going to make sure it's .com here then. And then you've got email, which is succeedfromthestart@gmail, and Facebook, you're angela.roth, ROTH dot coach. And on LinkedIn, you're Angela Roth Succeed from the Start. And on Instagram, Angela Roth Succeed from the Start. So it's all there, and people can follow you and look you up and book a call with you and everything else that, you know, a lot of people think that you can't succeed until you've done it for a long time. But you know, this succeeding for the start is about, with the right things in place, taking the right steps at the right time,
Yeah.
each succession that you are doing, you are succeeding at. We don't have to wait, you know, for the gravy to come, for the dish to be delicious, right? You know, it's putting
Absolutely.
everything on that plate, and it's like knowing that every phase you're going through, oh, I succeeded at that. What's the next one? What's the next one? Instead of waiting to build something, have I succeeded yet? You know,
I
succeed
know, I
in
think
small steps.
it's a wonderful thing to know that, every different step is celebrated.
Yes.
We need to celebrate it for ourselves because it gives us the impact and the desire to go to the next step. So yeah, we celebrate everything, and we start building out everything literally from day one. So it's not, like you say, exactly what you say. It's not about, oh yeah, well, in 2 years' time, maybe I will have succeeded. Because even the first step of starting a business, of following what's in your heart,
Yeah.
that's a success in itself, that you are willing to go out there and help somebody.
Yes, most certainly. This has been a wonderful conversation, Angela. Thank you so much.
Thank
And
you for having me.
the umbrella approach is something, the village I generally call it, is something that I promote all the time, because I think if we can get back to the village, if we can ha build these umbrellas where we support one another, what happens is that we have one pocket of umbrella here, one pocket of umbrella there, and the next thing you know, we have a community of umbrellas with all different things, health and business and family and everything else, entertainment, but everybody's there supporting each other, and it becomes a community on the whole of support. And then we truly see the true value of each other, the true value and the gift of life. And we really actually understand that we do not have to feed those tendencies that we've been wired for all these times, that we actually can change our programming and actually be loving, caring creatures and thrive on it, right? Financially, emotionally, spiritually, in every way that we can thrive. But together, this is where we do it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we value each other, we value everything that everybody gives, and it's, nobody is too small, nobody is too insignificant. Everybody can add something. Creating Color was the name of my other business, which was a jewelry business I ran, and that's still part of me, and it's about the vibrancy that you bring together, the rainbow that's created when you all come together, and the beauty in that when you recognize the value of each other. It is a way to change the world, and there are people out there who say it's not possible. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I'm 100% believe it's possible. Otherwise, why do we exist? If this is
Exactly.
all we are, if this is all we can amount to, what use are we? We are meant to evolve. We are meant to evolve into a higher consciousness of understanding. And the only way we're going to get that is actually to understand, to bring our collective consciousness together in that rising. That's the only way we're going to actually be able to allow to be stay here on Earth. The only way that we're actually going to understand so much more about why we're here. And the only way that we're going to be able to accomplish anything is in harmony. And you know, it doesn't mean that conflict won't be there, but we'll find different ways of dealing with it rather than bringing out the pitchfork.
Yes.
So it's up to us. Come together. Right now. Thanks so much for being here. It's been absolutely wonderful. I love the community. So, and of course, you work with people anywhere in the world, right? It's not just the
Oh,
UK.
yeah. No, it's not
So,
just the UK, no.
global concern, which is great.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of online business. It opens your door to everyone in the world. And that is, again, that smorgasbord, that buffet now has just got more exciting. And looking at how other people are doing it in other countries, there's going to be a time where you need each other. And how exciting to explore the way they do it too. So, yeah, let's open our hearts, our minds, our consciousness, and let's work together. So thanks so much, Angela. And until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life. And we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted. And we do hope that you enjoy the next show.